I am excited to welcome in studio a dear friend of ours. Jason Jakubowski is here, president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share. Hey, Jason.
Melissa,
how are you? I mean, I'm great.
Thank you for coming in studio this morning.
What? That
you like reading a physical book.
I do.
I am the same exact way.
I can't change.
My wife gets on me constantly. She's always getting on me.
Yeah.
Just use the Kindle.
I
want the physical book.
Listen.
So I get you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for seeing me. I appreciate that.
I'm with you 100%.
Honestly, I always say to people who knock me, I'll say, go back and look at all my SAT and ACT scores where I always plummeted was reading comprehension because I couldn't audibly get it. And even just reading it on page, it's like, give me a book. For some reason,
I'll
tell you every detail possible. Say, I don't know. So thank you.
I'm with you.
Oh, I feel
seen. Or maybe we're both weird. That's possible.
Well, that's actually very plausible.
Okay,
but that's fine. Listen, I think, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So I'm glad that you're in studio.
I'm really glad
to have you here. I have so much to talk to you about.
No,
all good things. Always good things.
I'm
with
a Jets fan, so there. I'm pleased that the Patriots.
It was like you were indirectly a win because he used to be your QB.
Well, he was our. We drafted him.
Right.
Of course, we ruined him.
Right.
But you know, then.
But he came back.
But
Sam Darnold had a great game.
Had a great game, and I don't have to deal with the Patriot fans crowing for the next couple of
okay. Well, I married months. One, so I do.
God bless
you.
Thank
you.
I don't know how you do that.
Thank you so much. We do the best we can.
He's
not bad to look at, so that's why he's great.
Rough.
So, Jason, I want to talk about food insecurity in Connecticut, certainly. And obviously, this is a focus for good reason during the legislative session.
Yeah.
You know, kind of take people back, I would say, over the last 6 months, even less than that, where we had a government shutdown.
Yep.
And the first line of defense, on a bipartisan basis, by the way, was to make sure families were not going to go hungry.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, kind of talk about from the fall of 2025 to where your focus is now with the new legislative session.
We got another 6 hours.
I mean, we can just go all day. I know, right?
Look, these last
Cliff Notes version.
The last the fall was difficult. I had said I did a couple interviews where I said there were a couple weeks in like October, November. It was some of the hardest weeks of my professional career, and most of us at the food bank, and that includes COVID, because we just didn't know what was going on. I mean, there were some days in which SNAP benefits are ending. And then a couple hours later, oh, no, they're coming back. And then a couple hours later, the court rules. Oh, no, they're ending. And then a couple hours later, another court rules. It's like, OK, which way? What's
right.
going on? And people did lose their SNAP benefits for a week. We were very fortunate that the state of Connecticut stepped up to the plate in a very bipartisan way. I remember the governor was at our warehouse announcing it. Vinnie Candeloro was standing right next to him. Being able to get us an extra $3 million to be able to help put more food on our trucks. Our lines during that first week of November tripled. I mean, in many cases.
Well, because let's remember, Jason, that we're not just talking about SNAP benefit families.
Correct.
You're talking about a lot of people who don't actually qualify for SNAP,
Absolutely.
But are food insecure.
100%. Well, you got everybody who's food insecure. And now on top of it, you've got the fact that people were getting a couple hundred dollars a month to buy groceries. And they were panicking. They're like, Oh my God! What happens if I don't have that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was difficult. That was not easy. I'm glad that Congress finally got its act together. I'm glad they ended the shutdown. I'm glad that SNAP is now guaranteed through the end of September, through the end of the federal budget. But what we're seeing is still these rates keep increasing across even a state like Connecticut. We see it across the country, but certainly in a state like Connecticut, and it's frustrating. A lot of it is a reaction to that SNAP crisis, to that government shutdown. A lot of it is just, there's just not as much food coming from the federal government as there used to be. The stat that that we've been using in January, February, March of 25 last year, we received 86 trailer loads of food from the federal government. This year, January, February, March, we have received and are scheduled to receive 24. So it's a dramatic decrease, which means we've got to count on A, our donors, and B, the state of Connecticut to help us try to make up that gap, because the need is still there.
So it's interesting that you bring that up, Jason, and I want to talk more about that. In fact, I'm going to write a note because my brain goes all over the place. But trucks, all right.
Trucks.
We'll
there
go,
you go. Trucks.
We're going to go back to trucks in a second.
I don't know how to drive one.
No.
Okay.
One of those big ones.
One of the big ones. I'm not licensed to drive one.
No, but you could do the whole like, hey, come this way.
Yeah,
you could do the airplane. Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to come back to the trucks in a second because I think that's really fascinating. But the thing that I thought was worth sharing though is where does Connecticut kind of stand in regards if you were to compare it to other states? So obviously federal cuts are happening everywhere. Do you think that Connecticut though is in a healthier place? Not even politically, but just healthier place, recognizing food insecurity, focusing on it compared to other states?
Definitely. Definitely, hands down. We're a part of the Feeding America Network. There's 198 food banks across the country.
Wow.
I was at a meeting with some other food bank CEOs in Chicago 2 weeks ago. And I'm proud to be from Connecticut, both on the monetary side and on the political side. You go around the room and listening to everybody and their horror stories, many states, particularly southern states, aren't getting any traction with state government.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, things got cut out. There's nothing we can do about that. Talk to the federal government about that. Here in Connecticut, I think there's two things that are true. One is that they have definitely stepped up to the plate and provided us with more money, and this is an issue they care about. But secondly, it has been a bipartisan effort.
That's
here
a big deal.
In the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. We're proud of that and any role we've played in that. But the governor and the legislature, both parties, both houses, certainly deserve to take some credit for that. It's 2026. There's not a lot of things that everybody agrees on.
Yeah.
We have been very, very fortunate that we live in a state in which this is one of those things in which there's no partisan divide. Everybody wants to find a way.
Everyone should be able to eat.
Everybody should be able to eat. And I think every legislator has realized, and we also tell them, there's one of our pantries in every legislative district in the state,
mm-hmm.
not just Hartford, New Haven, and Bridgeport,
right.
but Darien, Greenwich, Seymour, Union, Cornwall. I mean, all 169 towns.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not one legislator who could sit there and say, well, it doesn't affect my town, because
right.
it does.
Right.
It does.
Well, and I think to your point, Jason, it's not a partisan issue.
It's not.
I mean, we're talking about should people. And at this point, Connecticut, I want to say one of the last times you and I spoke is that are we near or at the highest amount of people being food insecure in a long time in Connecticut, considered food insecure? Like when you look at those Alice reports, more and more people are qualifying to say, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. They may, have a living situation and they may be getting a paycheck from work. But as far as having a consistent, I know where that next meal is coming from for the entire family, we're at a pretty high rate, I think, in Connecticut.
We are just short of where we were at the peak of the pandemic. And that's scary. That is scary because unemployment is obviously much lower now
Correct.
Than it was during the pandemic. But right now there's about 515,000 people in the state of Connecticut that are food insecure. It was about 540,000 at the peak of the pandemic.
Wow.
But you mentioned the Alice households. That's it. I mean, this is, 30 years ago, it was if you were food insecure, the odds are you were unemployed.
Right.
That's not
homeless.
The case.
Homeless. Right.
That's not the case right now. You go to our lines, you get people that are, employed. They may have one. They may have two jobs. The cost of living in this world, in this state, in the universe in the year 2026 is very large. What is the Alice report says something like a family of four in Connecticut, you need something like $110,000 in order to live,
survive,
survive,
be comfortable, but it's not comfortable for the record. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are people, they're working. They're definitely working. The other thing we've seen a lot of in the last couple of months, senior citizens, a lot of senior citizens mm-hmm. have been coming out. These are people. It's heartbreaking, and especially around this time when a property tax payment is due, and they're probably not accruing it. They probably have to come up with cash, and
right.
it's like, do I pay my medication? Do I pay for
heating bill?
Heat? Do I pay for electricity?
Right.
Do I pay for clothes, or do I pay for food? And they're saying, well, I can go without a couple of meals.
It's so true.
It's sad. I mean, it is sad.
Yeah.
So, but that's the reality we have here in Connecticut.
Chatting with Jason Jakubowski, again, president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share. So, Jason, really quick recap. What was that difference of the amount of trucks you got from the federal government last year versus this year?
86 truckloads of food in the first 3 months last year versus 24 in the first 3 months of this year.
Okay. So the reason I wanted to remember the trucks was not because I want to know if you could drive them.
I cannot. I do not have a CDL license.
That's okay.
I cannot drive a truck.
Me neither. It's on my to-do list.
I can
list,
buy
though.
A truck. I can get the money to buy a truck.
Sure.
Don't put me in the cab.
That's okay. I do want to get one of those licenses, though, one day. I want to drive a school bus.
You go for it.
Thank you.
If you get a CDL, you can come work for us.
We'll put or
you
I'll out, come
we'll
work
we'll
for
put,
you.
We'll put you on one of the trucks. No
Perfect.
Problem.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, great. So I'm going to sideline that as well. Apply. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I do want to kind of bring up that example and something that we had heard from educators, actually. Yeah. So as you know, the governor in his proposal, again, the legislature has to look at it. He wants free school, at least breakfasts. And again, I know I say this and people are like, oh, you don't want kids to eat. No, lies. I think it's great, the idea that kids get at least a guaranteed breakfast, you know, in some regards also lunch, depending on the district. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I think there's two things, though, that we have to look at. And the governor actually agreed with me because I gave him pushback on this. Mm-hmm. I said, first of all, the quality of the food. What does that mean? What are you putting in the bodies of these kids? So, like, you're telling me you're giving a free breakfast. Great. Honey, save that on our grocery bill. Let Chase eat at school.
Yeah.
However, what is Chase getting when he goes to school? That I have to ask. But the second thing I have to ask is, are we utilizing all the food that is at school? So going back to some educators who reached out and said, we could tell you, again, I've heard from Stamford, Stratford, just to name drop a couple of districts, won't say who they are, but these are people who are literally seeing it, and they say the schools are giving bags of food to children for their families. Sadly, most of it, though, ends up in the dumpsters and garbage cans, and we want to know what we could do about that.
Yeah, we've got to, as a society in general, we've got to do a better job of making it okay, making it socially acceptable for people to donate that product. Okay, I understand when you get, if you're given a product and it's not a product that you like, what's something I don't necessarily, bananas. I don't like bananas.
Right.
I don't like bananas. If somebody donated a banana, a bushel of bananas to me,
you'd be grateful, but you're like, that's not
I would be grateful,
great
but it's not just, it's not something I like. We've got to get better as a society of saying, okay, how do I donate that banana?
Right.
As opposed to just saying, oh, I don't like it. I'm going to throw this away. And I think that, you know, figuring that out is something that's important. Maybe one of the things that we can work with some of these school districts on is, you know, a donation bin. Hey, instead of throwing it in the trash, especially if it's shelf stable, if it's a can or a box, something, just put it here in this box. Donate it back to us at the food bank.
It's a great idea.
We'll take it. I mean,
so do schools don't do that right now?
Sometimes, I mean, schools will do the elementary school in my neighborhood just did a can drive, for example. A lot of schools will do local can drives.
But I feel like a drive is different, than saying
different.
I don't like this. Like, so for example, when I go to restaurants, I'm not really a fry person per se. I will tell them, don't I don't want you to waste your fries. Yeah. I'm not going to eat them. So they won't. And they'll say, well, we're going to charge you the same. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't want them.
You don't
want, or if you could substitute. But same sort of deal. I think a can drive is a little bit different than, hey, I'm not going to eat this. What do I do with it?
Everybody loves the can drive because they get to take a picture, look at all the cans that we get, which is, and it's wonderful. I mean, I'm not knocking it. But let's get to a point in which, you know, maybe there's a box, too, that says if you're not going to eat this product that is being donated, please drop it here. We will absolutely donate it back to the local food pantry or to the food bank because we will use that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my message to everybody out there, anybody who's listening, is that before you throw it out, I mean, especially if it's non-perishable. If it's perishable, that's a whole different story.
Right.
But if it's non-perishable, I mean, please consider donating it to your local food pantry or to the food bank.
I think it's a great call to action for school districts.
Absolutely.
I really do. I think you're talking about something. And again, I know you have to get, obviously, I would think, approval from the principal, superintendent, and all that. But I do think, and maybe I'll even bring this up to the governor next time I talk to him, because he was very agreeable when he said, you're right. I think it's not enough to say, hey, we're going to make sure we give free breakfast.
Right.
We have to also let the schools know, here's what's great, here's what's not so great, and here's how you can utilize your money properly. I think we also add the guidance of, and if people don't like the food they are being offered, what is your alternative?
Yes.
And if that's a donation box that then goes to your local pantry, which, whether it's Food Share or it's another, you know, another entity,
absolutely,
I think that's more effective.
There is a local pantry near every school. So when we do, usually people will call us up and schools or places will call us up, hey, we want to do a can drive. We want to collect cans for you. And what we'll say to them is, you can definitely give them to us, but we could also eliminate the middleman. There's a pantry, you know, three blocks away from you.
Right.
Let's just give it to them directly instead of bringing it to us and then we give it to them.
Yeah.
So it's not like the logistics aren't there. It's not like it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely possible. But people need to be, but you know, schools need to be better at that. And the other thing is there's the stigma out there. And people are like, well, I don't want to advertise to everybody that I'm getting this free, whether it's a breakfast or this free, bag of food or anything like that.
Right.
Like, this is the world we're living in nowadays. There's no mm-hmm. shame in that. There shouldn't be any shame in that.
Yeah. I also think that to some degree, you know, if you recognize that, especially when you're talking about younger kids, but even teenagers, if they're feeling embarrassed about that, I think there are ways that the school yeah. can do it where it's like a little more confidential, or there's
absolutely.
A way, you know what I mean, where they can kind of feel like that middle ground of, okay, we don't yep. have to highlight it, or here you go, Timmy, here's your bag.
Absolutely.
You know, I just think that there needs to be more yep. conversation around that. And educators are seeing it, and I think they'd love to.
I think educators are more in tune to it now,
yes.
too. I think not to date myself, but back to, you know, what I remember when I was in school at the first day of every month, mm-hmm. the teacher would, okay, here's the lunch cards of everybody who had a free and reduced lunch. And, you know, they'd call your name and you'd go up and you'd get the.
Right.
Hey, let's advertise to the entire class.
Oh my gosh, when we ran out of ticket money.
Yeah.
So and I can understand the embarrassment of this. I can remember vividly, yeah. hey, Melissa, your mom didn't, you know, like up the amount for your ticket money.
Yeah.
And I remember not having a ticket for maybe once or twice, not
yeah.
to call my parents because they were great. But maybe those once or twice
yes.
was like, oh shoot, I missed the payment for that. And I know that embarrassment. I
yes.
understand
yeah.
that. But I think that there is a way
absolutely.
Where you can address that. And that's 100%. Just been an age old, I think, thing.
100%. And
yeah.
we have gotten better. Teachers have gotten much, much more empathetic
yes.
in terms of understanding and trying to meet kids where they are. But
agreed.
The bottom line is, for any of your listeners, if you're given something and or if you've bought something and you decide you no longer need to use it, please donate it.
Yeah.
We depend on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we depend on that.
Yeah.
And that's how we... That's how we live.
Agreed. And to your point earlier, Jason, you know, not only embarrassment, but sometimes people feel like, oh, if I donate this, I'm ungrateful.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel that way.
No, not at all.
It's okay. I mean, and again, not to like bring up examples.
Better
but
to pay it forward.
Exactly.
You and the fries. I mean, you don't want the fries.
Right.
You'd rather have somebody else. Have the fries.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, that's not being ungrateful.
Right. But I think some people look at it that
yeah,
way.
Know,
like, oh,
I
if
know.
I'm getting rid of this, it's me being like, well, yeah. I want something different. But no,
yeah.
I think you can feed somebody else who will
absolutely.
Eat that.
Absolutely.
That's how you should look at it.
100%.
I love it. Pay it forward.
100%.
I like that. Jason Jakubowski, thank you so much. I know I will be speaking to you certainly throughout the legislative session, but you are always welcome back in studio throughout the year.
Yay.
Obviously.
All right. Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
I
mean, don't love the fact that you're a Jets fan, but we'll get over it.
Believe me, have some sympathy for me, please.
I'm a Dolphins fan.
Well,
you don't have to tell me.
You don't
at
have
least
much,
you had a little bit of a victory last night.
You don't have much more to be happy
correct.
About, though. We're both Yankee fans, though.
Yes,
that's
we are.
The most important
well,
thing.
Well, we're winners.
We're winners.
You know,
we're
winners in some
winners.
Regard,
that's
you know?
It. We're
yeah.
27 world champions.
We got something
I mean,
together.
That's it.
We certainly did. Jason, thank you so much, and we'll certainly give you at home more information about Food Share on our website, voiceofct.com.